Welcome to the Madison County Milk House. I'm Samantha Field, the Public Information Officer for Madison County. And for our first podcast for the month of March, we are talking Women's History Month. And we have with us our historian, Matt Ertz.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
I was in a meeting the other day. They're like, oh, yeah, the historian, Matt. I know him. Like, everybody knows Matt. You have your fingers kind of on all sorts of things throughout the county.
Yeah, we're very fortunate that I can work with all sorts of different businesses and people and just residents wanting to know more history about their homes and their families and stuff like that. So we try and work with just about everybody because history touches everything in this county.
There was a, what was brought up to me was a meeting about the rail trail and that you were there. And I was like, yeah, sometimes Matt goes and I just, you know, hear from him and I know what's going on and he helps me come up with ideas and he brings them.
I don't even know what meeting that was. I was part of when they put up the new signage. I worked with a lot of people on that and some of our former supervisors and a bunch of people in Oneida, which was really fun kind of. And in that, we highlighted a lot of businesses then that are still around today that were part of what make Oneida what it is.
Back to Women's History Month. Here in Madison County, we have kind of a rich history of when it comes to women and especially the suffrage movement.
We do. Madison County was pretty active early on, and in 1894, across the state, pretty much every county hosted a meeting, and ours was in April of that year. It was in the city of Oneida, and it featured two speakers, one that probably everybody knows, Susan B. Anthony, mm-hmm. And the other woman was the Reverend Anna Shaw, who was a really prominent women's rights advocate and was one of the first women to be ordained a minister. Mm-hmm. So they came, they spoke on two evenings, April 17th and 18th, at the Monroe Opera House, which, if you're familiar with the city of Oneida, it would have been kind of where the city police department is today.
Okay. I was actually wondering where that was.
Yeah. It was torn down in the 1930s, but it was a very popular opera house at the time. It drew a few hundred people, and both men and women. And the big thing that kind of came out of that, which was interesting for us, is every single town that was active at that time, which we didn't have the town of Lincoln quite yet, and Oneida was still a village, but every town had a representative that was to go out and start talking about women's suffrage in their own community. So when you think of some of our more rural areas, you know, Georgetown and DeRider and Nelson and Brookfield all had advocates from their towns that came to this event and then went back into their communities and started talking about it. And that's when we start to see, shortly thereafter, the community clubs start. We're very fortunate we have minutes from one of those organizations. The Madison County Historical Society has forgetting the name right now, but it was the City of Oneida kind of suffrage club that formed like 2 or 3 years later, and we have all those minutes, so we know what they were doing. We know the presenters they had in come and talk. They had later conventions leading up to the first vote in 1915. So we have all these great moments where we know the women that were working, and we've highlighted them, and we talk about their stories, and we try and find as much information as we can. And yeah, it's a really neat story.
It's just interesting to think, you know, you just think back what was actually happening at the turn of the century, you know, and then you are asked, you know, to be that liaison, but also your representative for your area to talk about this grand idea, you know, and just the woman's right to vote, the woman's right to do a lot of things. And, you know, it's not maybe necessarily a popular idea. And you just think about, you know, even things that are happening in modern day now, you know, being that voice to bring that idea. You know, you might not have the popular opinion, but you feel wholeheartedly that this is what's right. And so you bring that to your community. You bring it to a very rural community like Brookfield or, you know, Bridgeport or, you know, those different areas.
Well,
it's not just a city idea, if you will.
No, and what was interesting was it was really women that were working class that were bringing this out because you would actually see in there the phrase that we saw with the American Revolution, no taxation without representation. Well, if you're a woman that has a job, and one of the leaders was a female doctor whose name is escaping me right now, but she regularly talked about, I pay taxes, I pay income taxes, yet I have no say in my income taxes.
Right.
So that was a big talking point. Also, you know, women wanting more rights in terms of the hours they worked and stuff like that. When we think about not so much Madison County, but when you're in a more urban setting, factories and those long days, and, you know, we all know the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire, which was a horrible incident. So you know, when you look at stuff like that, that was the kind of the driving force. And we also had women that did not want the right to vote.
Yes.
And that tended to be the wealthier class. And some of the more Catholics tended to be against the right to vote. Not all of them, but those groups were active in the same fight, not wanting the right to vote. And their argument was they have this sphere and they want to stay within their sphere and they don't want to go out. And, mm-hmm. and they thought it was a very important civic responsibility, which it still is today. And they were nervous by the idea of all the things they would have to learn to be a properly educated voter. So that's something that is very important to know, too, that we had both sides of the argument happening. And the Casanova Public Library actually has their anti-suffrage organizations meeting minutes. So, again, we have a good idea of what people were thinking and what they were talking about and what their thoughts were.
I just picture everybody is Mrs. Banks from Mary Poppins and the suffragettes. I'm sorry. I know these women worked very hard to, you know, change the way things were and, you know, make sure that women had a voice. And we appreciate everything they do, but I really picture them all as Mrs. Banks from Mary Poppins, which I feel like is a good role model.
I don't think I've seen Mary Poppins in probably 30 years.
Have 5-year-olds. So you highlight on your Facebook account some of the women and not just, you know, the suffrage convention, but you also talk about other women of our past who are from Madison County, have ties to Madison County, and you even this year are highlighting some from, I guess, a more modern era, if you will. This month you're also going to be highlighting Jeanette Kidd. She was the first female mayor of the city of Oneida.
Yeah, so when we do this, we have lots of great stories to tell from the early and mid-20th century, but we always want to try and highlight people that have the modern era. We still have women that are doing amazing things and stepping forward and into important roles, mm-hmm. And we want to highlight them. And Jeanette was one of the first women to be mayor across the state, but she was the first woman to be mayor in the city of Oneida. She worked in the Madison County Welfare Department, which today is Social Services. She raised 7 children, served on the city of Oneida Council, and in 1983 she was elected, serving 1 term as the city of Oneida mayor. So we think that's really important to highlight that, you know, that's 30 years ago now that we had a woman.
That's 40 years ago now.
Oh, that's 40 years ago. That's why I'm a historian and not a mathematician.
Don't worry. I don't like that number.
I believe you turn a certain age this year, don't you?
I do. All right. We won't talk about the 80s and 40 years ago.
But yeah, that idea that, you know, 40 years ago we had a woman who was empowered to lead our city, and that would have been less than 100 years since Oneida, the city, was formed. So it was a big deal.
Yeah, and like we do say, like modern era. I mean, again, I'm turning 40 this year. I was born in 84, you know, and she became mayor in 1983. And so in my lifetime, there was the first female mayor of the city of Oneida. So it shows that women are still, you know, making strides and doing new things. I mean, we were just chatting before we started recording that we now have 6 women as Board of Supervisors. That's the most we've ever had sitting at the same time on the board. We've had women in the past, which is great, but now we have 6 women sitting as board as town supervisors or supervisors of the city of Oneida. City of Oneida, Matt Roberts is kind of outnumbered. He's the only man from the city of Oneida representing the city of Oneida. Well, there's 3 women.
And that makes up a third of our board. You know, when you think of women as half the population, we're getting closer to having that kind of equality.
That actual representation. So, and, you know, we were talking about it too, like here at the county, we have 15 women as department heads or leaders of our various departments and services here at Madison County, or as deputy directors, which is absolutely amazing. You know, we joke around kind of in the county office building because, you know, it was built in the 70s.
1969.
Yes, 60s and 70s. And you can kind of tell that, you know, when it was built, of what it was, you know, built for, and offices have moved and things like that, and renovations have happened. And now we finally needed more female bathrooms. You know, it just, the change that has been happening, and, you know, that we have a lot of women working here and we have a lot of women in leadership positions, I think is great. And it shows, we said it earlier kind of a little bit, that Madison County is a little more progressive, if you will, for a rural county.
Absolutely. And when you look at some of our thoughts, you know, just touching back real quick to the women's suffrage movement, Madison County in 1915, the first vote in New York State voted no, but in 1917 when it was passed, they voted yes. And that idea of we had, we voted yes in Monroe County, which has Rochester, didn't. Erie County, which has Buffalo, didn't. Kind of bigger cities mm-hmm. where you would think kind of more progressive ideas were happening. They didn't pass it, but we did. And obviously, we have other roles in the history. We talked last month about the abolition movement and mm-hmm. our progressive thoughts there. So, yeah, we always have tried to be, as a county, you can kind of see, we were a little bit ahead for especially a very rural agrarian county.
And I want to kind of continue on some of those women that you're highlighting. You were able to just a few months ago, actually, sit down with the woman that you'll be highlighting towards the end of the month, Grovine Tiller.
Yeah, so...
She's fascinating.
For close to more than 10 years, we have done our best to sit down with veterans and record their stories. We really focused on World War II because so many of those folks are passing on. And Grovine Tiller was our latest one. We sat down with her in October. She was originally from Madison, New York. She grew up, graduated from Madison Schools. She entered the Army Nurse Cadet Training Program, and she went to school for 3 years in Brooklyn to get her nursing degree. And then she went to work for the Army, first working in Fort Dix. And then after her basic training, she actually came back home basically to Rhodes Hospital in Utica. She served there until 1946 and then was reassigned to the Army Navy Hospital in Arkansas. And we were able to sit down with her for about half hour, 45 minutes at the Oneida Public Library and kind of talk about her experiences. One of the more interesting things that you never think about today was she got to give one of the first ever shots of, and she talked about the penicillin was actually guarded by two guards. And the process it took to give a shot was really, really amazing and something we take for granted yes. today. But was really a huge deal then for somebody to get a penicillin shot and what the process was.
And life-changing.
Yeah, and she also talked about dealing with soldiers coming back with traumatic injuries, which was something she dealt with. And then talked about her life afterwards. She lived a really fascinating life. But, you know, we don't have a ton of stories of women and their time in the war. And we wanted to make sure when she was willing to talk that we got her to sit down with us for a few minutes.
And I know that that talk that you, you know, facilitated at the library, I mean, it touched a lot of people, too, who were able to hear her story.
Yeah. We had another woman who was a nurse in the modern era. She was in Afghanistan. And they ended up talking for... 5-10 minutes and Andrew Donovan actually came too from
Channel 9, yeah.
Thank you. And ended up recording an interview with her and actually took her back to one of the only buildings that's left from Rhodes Hospital, and they sat and talked about her experiences there. So it was great to make sure we document Grovine's story because we want to make sure those stories are preserved, with the idea being when somebody wants to learn about what their experience in the service was like, and especially someone like her who served in a medical capacity, we hear it from somebody from our own community.
Yeah, and hearing it firsthand, it's so important, especially to document that history so we can learn, you know, even though it's, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, World War II was now, D-Day is going to be 80 years this year, that's right. And I was like, I heard this the other day. And it's just absolutely fascinating. Oh, because I was watching a story that they had on the local news about a 100-year-old who's getting married going to D-Day celebration in France because he was there, is going to document it, and he's getting married again 2 days later in France to his sweetheart. And he's 100 years old, and I'm like, you know what?
More power to you.
More power to you.
We've been very lucky to interview people across the spectrum of that service, and it's been a very rewarding experience.
So thank you for documenting the history, and Matt will be posting that interview
towards the end of the month.
Yes, towards the end of the month, so you can see it and hear it, and obviously go to Matt's webpage on Madison County's webpage. We'll link to it so you can see all the interviews he's done in the past, just so we can hear those stories firsthand. And I wanted to give this kind of to round it out towards the end of this podcast, because, you know, it's Women's History Month. I've been working hand in hand with a few of our local resources that assist with economic development, especially in the rural community. And we've been focusing a lot on some of the need that is here in our rural community for economic development and for assistance with women-owned businesses. So WISE is a women business center that is out of Syracuse, but they are also help out women-owned businesses or women who are looking to go into business here in Madison County. And with them and the Hub, which is our incubator for Madison County, they're hosting a women's business leadership workshop. Come have breakfast with us. It's at the Oneida Mansion House on April 4th, I apologize. And I will put this information out there. So if you're a women-owned business, we're going to have, it's from 8:30 to 12. You can come for as long as you want. We have some great guest speakers. It's going to be a workshop to help women businesses to learn a lot of, and just network and just hang out and have breakfast, and we get to get a nice tour of the Mansion House as well.
I was going to say, if you've never done a tour of the Mansion House, the gentleman who is the director of museums right now, Tom Geiler, is fantastic. And the opportunities that women had there were second to none. The opportunities mm-hmm. for education. You have one of the first female CEOs in the history of the United States of a major corporation was of the Oneida Community Limited. Just wonderful stories of opportunities and equality in a lot of ways. Now, there's also a lot of crazy stories, and he'll go through those too.
Yes.
But it is a wonderful place. You have the first woman to study in the Vatican was from the Oneida Community. One of the first female musical conductors was from the Oneida Community. All these different women. A woman who was a really, really prominent author came from the Oneida Community. So all these amazing women came out of that place with opportunities that really didn't exist for people, women in the community otherwise.
And we're kind of excited to host it there. So you know, there's a little bit of a rich history there.
It's if you haven't done a tour recently, I would encourage anyone to do it again. I took my wife for Valentine's Day, which is a weird thing to do.
But the romantic to be married to a historian.
Well, she had heard stories, and I had tried to dispel her, and I just kept my mouth quiet, and she and Tom, she asked a ton of questions, and Tom was absolutely wonderful talking about the different things, and she came out of it thinking, I had no idea, it's completely different than what I thought.
That's great.
So yeah, it was wonderful.
I'm glad she had that experience. So Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I do have a quick question. I'm sorry, before we end this. What is in our cases downstairs outside the DMV this month?
Yeah, we have a new display up currently from the Great Swamp Conservancy looks at their history and what they do and the trails that they have. And, you know, natural history is another part of history. I don't get into as much, but, you know, they're documenting that. They also have one of the one-room schoolhouses underground, mm-hmm. on the grounds that they use for educational purposes. And then the other one we're going to have is from the Oz Museum. We're actually going to have a display on the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, nice.
Which should be up hopefully by the end of this week, maybe the beginning of next week. And they'll be up for 3 to 4 months. We'll take them down sometime in June. But it's a great opportunity to come out if you got to come to the DMV or to pay your taxes or whatever. Register to vote.
There is a primary coming up.
So any of those things, if you come out, they're right on display in the main lobby. One's right next to the Board of Elections. The other one's on the opposite side, kind of near the elevator. So yes, it's we love doing that. We love getting our historical organizations and just some of our not-for-profits in general involved to have displays. Like I said, we rotate them about every 3 to 4 months.
Don't start the rumor. The ruby slippers will not be here.
No, they will not.
Again, Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We'll talk to you soon.
Yep.